Oh, I'm so glad to be here talking to you today. This is Carolyn Evers. We're going to be talking about one of my most favorite topics, perhaps, miracles. Because I know I've had all kinds of miracles in my life, and I'm sure you've had plenty of them, too. And I was hoping that I could share some of mine with you, you could share some with us, and we could just have a grand time, because we need to share your inspiration. Also, we're going to be talking, if we have time, we're going to be talking about soulmates, how to attract one if you feel like you need that miracle in your life. Anyway, the first thing I'm going to mention is kind of a heavy-duty miracle. And as I'm doing readings for people, I am finding that you guys are really busy at night while you go to sleep. You see, you park your body in that bed, and then it seems like these souls are whizzing around doing all kinds of work that you, no wonder you wake up tired in the morning sometime, because you have been busy at night. And this is a miracle because my show yesterday, gentleman sent me an email. He wanted me to do a reading for him, and we never got to it. And so we're doing it now. This gentleman lives in Romania, and a lot of people are poor there. Matter of fact, a lot of them are actually living in what we would call squalor here. And so he's a light worker, and he said that how can he feel a sense of completion for the work that he has to do? He feels like he's failed to accomplish in his mission and that it was very difficult to do his work there and feel satisfaction knowing and feeling that I have helped others to awaken. And so because of the poverty in his land, he feels like he's not doing anything. And so I want to read this extremely beautiful reading to you, because here's a gentleman that's working on the inner planes as he sleeps, and maybe you're doing the same thing. And there's some ideas in here as to how you might remember that. And so this is the reading. We stand here before you, and we send our love for this soul as he suffers exceedingly through his mind. He feels that he does not succeed only because he cannot see his results. This inquiring mind came to earth to live exactly where he is as he understands a land that does not offer an opportunity to live in freedom. The people in his country languish as they are controlled by a government that is not only oppressive but has turned their back on opportunity, and the people suffer and are deprived sometimes even from food. This is a land where the people are captive and they are feeling hopeless. This entity came to release these ties and struggles from those who are his countrymen. He works on the inner planes, and he releases the ties of despair among them. There would be many who would commit suicide if it were not for this caring love and assistance. Not only does he cut the ties of despair, but he also helps the elderly by prompting neighbors to assist these poor, defenseless individuals. He is like an angel who traverses the inner planes during his sleep, and he finds a need and fulfills it. He is a living angel of mercy. He brings joy and release from suffering wherever he finds it. Before this lifetime, he had other lifetimes in that land, and was of a royal family who treated his countrymen with love and patience in his rule. Before this incarnation, he saw these dark days coming to his land and decided that he would work among them until the division of the dimensions, where they would be freed forever from this domination. So we say to this brave soul, do not be discouraged as you complete your mission in ease and grace, though you do not remember this nightly journey. So we say to you, before you sleep, command your higher mind that you can bring back a memory that will refresh your conscious memory. Upon arising, write down any impressions that you receive from the night's work. Keep your journal, and you should be able to connect some of your nightly activity into your conscious mind. Blessed be to you and your grand estate of service. We stand before you and we honor you for your work for your countrymen. And so, of course, just being able to tell this gentleman that not only is he working for the light, but he is alleviating much pain of the people who live in his country. And so, what bigger, grander miracle than this? And here, this gentleman, during the waking state, did not remember any of it, nor did he even suspect that he was doing such remarkable work. And so perhaps those few thoughts as to how to remember this might be of help to you, these unknown and unsung angels who walk among men. And I know I am talking to many of you out there who are listening to this right now, because I am doing so many readings right now for these angels, and you need to claim some of your glory. So if you think you're not doing too much, you need to try to connect to your dreams. So that perhaps is a very stunning miracle. Now let's talk about another kind of miracle. I think nature, in all of her glory, has to be one of the most incredible miracles that we can share with Gaia. There was just one time like this. Perhaps it might seem like a little miracle to some, but to me, this was such an incredible miracle. I had a flower planter right outside my sliding glass door from the living room, and I could go out onto the porch, and there was this hanging basket. And unbeknownst to me, a mourning dove came one day and started building a nest. And I was delighted because I could stand inside my glass sliding door and I could watch every single action of this mourning dove. And so the nest was built. And then the soon-to-be mama came and sat down in the nest, and she waited patiently. Now, if you're not familiar with a mourning dove, they have a very broad breast, so that when you see them sit, their legs kind of tuck up under their body, and you see this gorgeous, beautiful breast, very full. And so I watched her. She didn't seem to be alarmed that I watched her. She would kind of look at me out of the corner of her eye once in a while, and she just sat there proudly fluffing her feathers as I watched. And lo and behold, I saw this egg fall out of her chest. And as it did, she kind of moved over, sat on it, got kind of cozy. And I knew right away she was warming this egg for her little chick to come forth. And so I watched her. I'd get my morning coffee, and I'd sit by the window, and I would watch these little eggs come out of her. And I would watch her move over, snuggle this big chest over the egg, and warm it. And I couldn't wait for the day when these eggs would crack open and the new birds would come out. And after a time of waiting, this is exactly what happened. I watched the eggs, and one by one, these little chicks started pecking away at the inside of the egg. Their time had come to be awakened. They were being born into this world. You might say they were working on their own ascension because they had to get out of this egg, and it seemed like quite a struggle. Some of them pecked a little hole. They had sometimes a pretty difficult time even getting out of that shell. All wet they were. And then I watched the wings and the feathers dry out. They became fluffy. And then these two birds took turns feeding the little ones coming with all the little insects and the worms and their mouths facing the birds as the goodies were put into their throat. I was inches away from this. I was right inside my window. This flower pot was practically right on top of my window. I was so close. And for me, this was such a magical time. It was, to me, a very great miracle. And so when I think of this moment, I think of the joy of living on this planet. And so I would say to that, as I share this inspiration with you, if you have a chance to see one of nature's miracles up close, find it. Sometimes you really got to look for it, but this one was presented right in front of me. If you don't have one presented in front of you, you might have to look under some flowers or take a trip in the woods. But there are nature's miracles all around. So listen, watch, and find your joy there. Now, that was the joy in nature. I told you about a miracle of people, souls working on the inner planes. Now, I'm going to tell you about a most remarkable miracle, because this was a miracle that Spirit had given me. And I've got two here. Trying to decide which one to tell you first, because they're both quite impressive. Maybe I'll start with the one where my husband and I, we had just purchased a trailer. This wasn't a motorhome. This was a trailer that went, you would attach to the back of the car and pull it. And of course, we were so delighted that we had this. We were going to go to the grandparents' house and pick them up and go camping. Now, at the time, we had three little children, and these three children were asleep in the back seat. We're in the front seat. First trip we had ever pulled with a trailer. And there was something about pulling this trailer that we didn't know, that when you were in a windy position, you had to tap the trailer brakes and not the car brakes to straighten the trailer out, or else the trailer would swing from side to side if you didn't handle that right. My husband didn't know that. So we're on the parkway going to New Jersey, and this is a parkway where people can speed at high speeds, and they do. And here we are in the trailer, and there must have been four or five buses that were all following one another, going at actually a tremendous speed. The first one passed us. We're in one of the right-hand lanes. The first bus passed us, and we felt this little pull in the rear of the trailer in the back. And what was happening is, as they are going by with all the speed, you see, it's causing a vacuum to a certain extent that is pulling the rear of the trailer. Well, we didn't know this. By the time the second bus, which was right on the heels of the first bus, passed us, this trailer is moving right and left in the back of us at much more of a arc in the swing. Then we had the third one pass us, right on the heels of this, never having had a chance to straighten out. And by now, the trailer is moving from right to left at such a fast arc that it's taking the car with it. In other words, we're literally feeling the rear end of the car starting to move sideways. And I then hear the next bus come, and the bus driver can't stop, of course, and he is just laying on his horn. He had moved over to the furthest left lane that he could, And I could see the danger. I could see the back of this trailer moving over, and I felt for sure it is going to move over, and this bus is just going to hit us. And I thought of my three children on the back seat, and I'm thinking, oh, my golly. I prayed to God. I'm thinking, they're not going to have a chance to survive and see what this life is all about. And all I could do was pray. I felt for sure this was going to be our last moments on earth. And all I could think of, not myself dying, but that my children wouldn't have the opportunity to really grow up. And so that's what's on my mind. The trailer was over to the left. The bus is over to the left. And it just, I'm sitting there waiting for the impact. And I closed my eyes. I couldn't stand to think of even seeing it. And, of course, my husband all the while was trying to straighten us out with the steering wheel in the front, which we found out later that wasn't the way to go. So I closed my eyes. I'm figuring eternity is going to be in front of me. And the next thing I know, we're sitting on the far right-hand side of the parkway, and the car is stopped. And there is the bus going down the parkway on its merry way. And I'm stunned. How in the world did we get here? I said to my husband, what happened? And he said, I don't know. And of course, I then said to him the most logical thing you would expect a wife to say to her husband in a moment such as this. What time is it? Yes, that's what I asked him. What time is it? This was at night. He looked at his watch. He said, it's 10:20. He was just as goofy as I was then. We're checking the time. So I said to him, boy, you better not tell your mother this story because she won't go camping with us in this vehicle.
I got to get on just to say this because I kept having the impulse to pick up the phone and tell you that it's 1:20.
1:20?
That's what it is. It's 1:20.
Oh, you mean because this was 10:20?
Yeah, but I don't know. I just about picked up the phone, and then I stopped, and I thought, I just thought I'd tell you that.
What kind of synchronicity here, huh? Now we all know the time. So we'll tell you, we'll go to the rest of the story with that. So first of all, that was the first miracle that happened at 10:20. So we drive along, say to my husband, don't you tell your mom about this one. Now, mom was the kind of person, she was a laid-back kind of a person. She was a fun gal. I don't think I ever saw her too serious about too much. She was just a lot of fun. Pull into the driveway, and here comes mom. Jean is as white as a sheet and so nervous, so at pins and needles. I said to her, Jean, what's wrong? She says, I don't know. I've been doing nothing but praying for you. I just knew that you were in trouble. And I sat here and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And of course I said the most logical thing to her that a daughter-in-law could say to her mother-in-law. What time was it? She says, oh, I started this right before 10:20. And so I never did tell her what that 10:20 was involved with. But I just knew in my heart, this was a miracle. If you ever saw a miracle, this was a miracle. This was a big miracle. And so I have no reason, no understanding as why that bus didn't hit us. How in the world we wound up on the right-hand side of the road, don't ever know. How in the world the car and the trailer stopped, don't know. And how my mother-in-law knew that miles away, her son and her daughter-in-law and her grandchildren were in mortal danger but there she was, praying. I don't know what angels stopped us. I don't know if it was our guides. All I know is we were all alive, and the grandchildren, my children, would see tomorrow. So that is perhaps a great spiritual miracle. Now, before we get into some other miracles, I have another biggie spiritual miracle, because you know when you think of these things in your life where you know God is with you, you know Spirit is with you, because they have done things for you in this hard world of physical solids. In the world that we live in, you know Spirit was there holding your hand. And so this is another miracle that I want to share with you. And the reason that I am sharing these miracles with you today is because if you don't think of anything else today, I want you to be aware that there are miracles all around you, whether they are miracles of nature, whether they are miracles of spirit. I want you to expect miracles in your life. Expect them every moment, because they are just around the corner. And you are just the kind of person who can receive them. And so, with the next miracle, this was a miracle that happened in Vermont. And if you haven't been to the state of Vermont, oh, it's such a gorgeous place. And I just love Vermont. My children love Vermont, because we would go there in the wintertime during that vacation between Christmas and New Year's. And so what I would do, we had a motorhome by then, and I would take weeks cooking all kinds of soup, putting them in containers and freezing them, baking all kinds of bread. And we would fill up the freezer with all these soups, with breads, and we would fill up the motorhome with the kids with all their skis, and believe it or not, their friends. I don't know where we put everybody, but we did. And they could all go skiing. They could come into the motorhome whenever they want. They could get their soup and put it on, heat that up with some bread. And we had a trunk in the back of the car, and so we'd take this frozen food out of the freezer, put it in the trunk, ride up to the frozen land in Vermont, and it stayed frozen. So just a little tip, if you ever want to travel, don't have enough room, put it in your trunk if you're going to the land of ice and snow. So the kids went downhill. They loved Nordic skiing, and we would drop them off at Bolton Valley, which is where a lot of the locals ski. And we went over to an area of the Trapp family property where there were some good cross-country skiing. Now, I don't mean to sound like we're these proficient skiers, because we're not. The only reason I started going downhill is when I took cross-country skiing is when I tried to take some downhill ski lessons. And the instructor said, well, our first lesson, you got to sit down on the ground. I said, what? I'm standing up here. Why do I want to sit down? He says, because you're going to fall and you have to know how to get up. Well, I sat down. And when I couldn't get up, I thought, well, cross country for me. So that's how I got into cross country. It was something that when you put cross country skis on, you could get up. So we start out with the day. Now, at this time of year, Vermont's very cold, and when you cross-country ski, you dress very lightly in layers. You might have some silk underwear on, and then a light layer of clothing on top of that, and then another light layer. And it's because working with skis, you generate a lot of body heat, but even though it's very cold, you just have a very few light layers of clothing. And I wanted to point that out first, because it kind of gives you an idea as to what happened later. We were really in big trouble. So on the ski trails, they don't really have signs. They've got cut marks on trees to show you where the trails are, and then these cut marks are painted in different colors so that there's the easy, the beginner trail, and then you go into an intermediate, and then they're advanced trails. You are up on the top of the mountain and actually skiing between the cities. I mean, you got to know how to do this to be up on the top professional trail, so to speak. So we're just moving along.
We have a caller.
And
we have a caller.
Okay.
I'll put him on the air.
Okay.
Hello.
Hi, Carolyn.
Hi.
Hi, this is Melissa.
Melissa, do you have a miracle to share with us?
You know, I don't, but I was hoping that, I don't know if you're able to tune into the Akashic Records and actually, you know, see something positive that may happen in my life.
Well, we will certainly try and do that, Melissa, but that's not exactly how it works. What we need is a question. And the reason that we need a question is, if you think of everything that you've done in this lifetime, in other words, you've done a lot of things, if you take all of these activities in one lifetime and you multiply it by all the lifetimes that you've ever had, there's a tremendous amount of information. And so we have to pose a question because we have to be directed to a certain area of the records. Now, do you have a specific question, or can you put...
Yes, you know, I do. I actually am interested in leaving Chicago.
I can't hear you, Melissa. A little louder, hon.
Okay, I'm actually looking to leave Chicago.
Leave
and
Chicago?
And would love to find out if you see anything around that.
That's not really a question I can work with.
Okay, how about what my potential is in this life, like my purpose?
Oh, now we're getting into something that's a definite question. So what I think, let's put this in a way that we can ask it just the way it's meaningful to you.
Okay,
you
fantastic.
You are asking, I think, would this be a fair question? You want to know what your mission is for this lifetime to serve? Is that a fair question, or is that another way we should put this?
It would be more of what the, you know, what my angels and everything feel is my gift in this life and how I can use it to help other people.
Actually, you just brought your angels in this, and where your angels can help you, that's not really part of your best record, so to speak.
Okay.
So is the question better put, how can you serve? Is that the question?
Yes.
Okay. Since that's the question, let me see if I can find an answer for you, Melissa, because what I've got to do now is change gears, so to speak. In other words, I have been talking, and when you talk, you're on a completely different energy band.
Okay.
And what I've got to do is I've got to sort of go into a meditative state and go into theta. And then after I relax and get into theta, I have to direct a particle of my mind actually out of this universe.
Okay.
And so this takes a little while. It's not an immediate connection. So if you can just bear with us, we'll see if we can reach that realm.
I can definitely wait.
Okay. There's an angel that has come forth. And that angel has what looks like a book. And this book is a book of your experiences.
Okay.
And they're showing me the cover. And the cover kind of surprises me because a lot of them are brown. This one is green. This was the first group of souls that were sent out. There were some souls sent out that divided the dimensions. Then there were others that were sent out, and they set up the substructures in the different dimensions. And there were a couple other colors that went out first. And so they're pointing their finger down the different layers of souls.
Okay.
And so when we get down to the green color, these are the souls that worked with the individual planets that were going to bear life. And the life that they're talking about is the flora and the fauna. This is the animals, the flowers.
Yeah.
And I would suspect that you feel a strong connection to that realm, do you?
I do. I'm very connected to animals and nature.
Mm-hmm. Because this is what was planted in your soul when you were called forth out of nothingness. And when souls were created, there was color rays coming forth from the hand of God. And out of these color rays, the different souls, it's almost like this planning was so precise that there was a plan as to how many souls would come forth on that color ray. And so as this ray came forth, there was music that we call the music of the spheres, and there was the intent of God. And when that portion of the plan was called forth for those who would integrate the flora and the fauna on a planet, that is when you were called.
Okay.
And it was like these particles walked through this wash of color. And I can see this sparkling pieces. They're like brilliant, tiny pieces. And as this energy from God came forth, this color just imbued your soul. And what makes you happy is to be able to work in that realm. And that is why you are here. You work with that realm.
Which is dealing with colors and energy?
No, the realm of the flora and the fauna. It is this color and the energy that has implanted this desire, this need in you. This was the call that God sent forth and you answered, and it is an internal need. This is where you need to be happy.
Okay.
You're working in this realm, and you work with the divas. You work with what some people call the little people. Do you ever feel that connection in your garden?
Yes.
And do you see them?
No.
Do you want to see them?
Yes.
They want that connection with you.
Okay.
They sing to you. And what you need to do is go in your garden and meditate there. Do you meditate?
Yes, I do meditate every day.
Where do you meditate?
In my bedroom at this point.
Okay, well, spend some of your meditating time out in your garden. And as you meditate, listen to their song, because they are calling you. They want you to consciously work with them.
Okay.
You see, humankind, one of the things that humankind was to do was to have a part in working with the earth powers and that unmanifested part of the earth powers as it comes into manifestation. That simply means this part of creation being called into being. And so humankind was supposed to be working with this level, and they have forgotten this.
Okay.
And they, I can't tell you how happy this part of creation is when you pay attention to them. When they call you and
mm-hmm.
you answer, you are connecting to a band that humans have forgotten. And so this part of creation has had to go on pretty much without the assistance of humans. And so there's a part of them that feels like a part of them is missing, and you as the human step in and you connect to them. And for now, this is your most important thing to do right now, is to connect with those divas in your garden, because if you would go meditate and connect with the divas, they would take a part of your consciousness inside the planet. They would show you the workings of the interior of the planet.
Okay.
And this is what they are calling you to do.
And this will guide me in on my path in this life.
I can't hear you.
This will guide me on my path in this life.
This is one of your paths. This
okay.
is your calling. You might do other things in life, but this will make you the most, this would be the thing that would bring you the most happiness, because you would be answering the call. You would be answering the ability that God planted in your soul. And this is what you're being called to do, the work that the Creator planted inside the very essence of your soul.
Now, well, this is wonderful.
You could go and be a secretary, you could be a nurse, you could be a housekeeper, you could do anything else where you might be earning money to pay the bill, so to speak.
Right.
But if you want to feel real satisfaction inside of you, then you have to do what God created you for. And this is what God created you for.
Well, thank you very much.
And that's the end, because they closed the book.
Okay.
They closed the book, dear. We're back.
Well, thank you, Carolyn. That was wonderful.
It was my pleasure.
Okay, I will talk to you soon.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Bye. So we were talking about miracles. Now tell me that wasn't a miracle. And I want you to know that all of you are part of some miracle, to know that part that God created you and to connect with it. That perhaps is one of the biggest miracles that we can participate in. Now, maybe we can get back to the story. And I kind of lost a little bit. Oh, we were on the ski trail. And we were on the easy ski trail. And I don't know what in the world happened, but we missed some of these marks in the trees. And the next thing I know, we're on the intermediate scale ski trail. And I said, my golly, we got to find a way to get back to the easy trail, because we don't belong here. And so we made a couple turns. And as fate would have it, where do you think we wound up? We did not find the easy trail. We were then on the top of the mountain in the most difficult trail that you could find. Now, the other trails, they send out sweepers, which means when you get down towards the evening hours and people are going home. They send out what's like a part of the ski patrol, that's the sweepers, and they make sure that there's nobody that be going to be on the trail at night. Well, they don't send sweepers up on the most difficult trail because they figure people up there know what they're doing. And I could see the sun setting, and I have no idea where we are. And so we're going up this trail, and my husband gets up to the top of this hill, and he says, "Follow me." I said, "Yeah, sure." I couldn't get up there. I'd get about 10 feet from the top, and then I'd slide all the way down. So after I did this quite a few times, I was really getting tired. I thought, well, maybe if I take my skis off, I'll be able to walk up the top. Took my skis off, and there I was in snow up to my waist. I was in some gully. Had to climb out of that. The long and the short of it is everybody's leaving the trail. I finally got to the top, and we had no idea what direction to go.
We have a caller.
Okay.
You want me to put them on?
Why not?
You got it.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, I'm sorry for cutting in on your story.
Yeah, I'm going to have to make a note here where I am in the story.
I am
fine.
So sorry.
And who am I speaking to?
My name is Lisa, and I live in Northeast Oregon.
Oregon. Oh, so you've got some ski trails out there.
Yes, but I don't ski.
Well, apparently I wasn't much of one either. So did you have a miracle to share with us?
No, I do not have a miracle to share, but I think we need a miracle, and that's what I want. I didn't mean to cut in on your...
No,
but...
you're not cutting in. You know, this is all... We're here trying to share and entertain one another.
Right. Well,
and if you don't like the way I entertain, you could always call in and ask for a miracle. So what did you have in mind? You need a miracle. What's your miracle, Lisa?
Peace on earth.
Ah.
I am so desperate, Carolyn. I cry every day.
Why are you crying? We need to talk about this. Now tell me, why are you crying?
The way things are going.
Okay.
And I have a son-in-law in Iraq. And
oh, that's what it is. Yes, yes, yes.
It's not just Iraq, and it's not just my son-in-law. I want the whole, I pray every day for peace, love, and light for the whole world. And I don't know. I just...
Okay. Let's talk about this a little, Lisa. First of all, this is how we bring peace into the world. This might not seem like the big miracle that we are talking about, but we bring peace in our heart first. We live peace. We are peace. We generate that peaceful being of light, and we allow that to grow. This is where it starts, and it sounds to me like you have that peace in your heart. And when we're like drops of water in the ocean, you know, we're like a little drop, a little piece, and we become peace, and then we join other drops, and those drops grow until there is a larger energy of peace, because this is how we're going to bring peace on earth. It has to grow to a certain point where it becomes so great in the upper levels that it eventually comes down to the lower levels. So first of all, understand that if you are peace, and you live that peace, that's the first step. You could visualize this. Now, there is a website, the Crystal Pyramid, and there are some visualizations under Earth Changes that shows you how to visualize peace on the earth. This is perhaps one of the greatest things that you can do. Now, Archangel Michael requested that graphic. And there are other people who have come and given messages to me also. You can, once you see the graphic, you can think this and be this. You can stand in line waiting at the grocery store to check out. There's so many. You could be fixing dinner at the kitchen sink, and you can envision this graphic. And if there are enough people who will do this, that point where it becomes irresistible to this planet, we will reach that. And they call that critical mass. I don't like using 50-cent words when we can use 10-cent words, but, you know, critical mass is maybe even a dollar word. But they tell us that critical mass is 10% of the population. And so you're this little drop. But if you envision peace, that puts something out there in the ethers that starts to attract other hearts, other minds to join you. And this is what dispels the darkness. And so that's why I said we need to talk about this, Lisa, because peace will be available to us. I don't want you to be anxious about this. It will come. Just know in your heart that it will come. And I would suspect, since I'm a mother and a grandmother myself, that if I had a son-in-law that was in Iraq, I would feel just the way you are feeling. But there's two issues here. There's the issue of the safety for your son-in-law, and then there is the issue for world peace. So what I would say to you, very calmly, do the meditation, see the graphic, and know in your heart you are working for world peace, and it's going to come. That
so I am
is
helping.
A given. What did you say?
I said, so I am helping. My little prayers.
Oh, you're helping big time. Do you understand what a small part critical mass is, 10%? That's a small part, but you see 10% aren't doing it yet. So you take your drop of consciousness and you work on that, knowing you are playing a very big role. So that part, feel comfortable with. Now the other issue is your son-in-law. You've got to sort of divide the two. Know that the one is certainly going to happen. Peace will come. Now your son-in-law, where is he fighting? Where is he serving?
He's near Mosul. He's a helicopter mechanic.
He's a mechanic?
Yes.
Is he fighting on the front lines?
No, he's in Mosul. He's in a safe base.
Okay.
But I still worry about all the other boys and girls there, and
yes,
men and women.
Yes, I know. My heart bleeds for them, too. Well, for your son-in-law, you can do the same thing with him. You can visualize his safety. And what you do is you picture in your mind, and I know that you're going to do this every day. You picture in his mind, or your mind, those angels of protection around him. And then very strongly, picture him coming home to your daughter. Does they have a family? They have children?
They have one little baby.
Yes. Well, picture in your mind very strongly him coming home to your daughter and the baby, and see him whole and complete and joyful. And when you picture this, what you have to feel is this great joy. Feel the joy that you are going to feel when he finally comes there and he puts his arms around his wife, your daughter, and their child. Feel that joy. Paint in that picture with all the colors, with the color of his hair, the color of his uniform, the color of your daughter's hair. See that picture as complete and distinct as you can. And then when you have filled in all of these details and you feel this great love, then you like put it inside of a balloon. And it is like you tap this balloon into the universe. This is your desire. This is your creation. Don't call it back and rework it. Just know that that is going to be. That is going to be. He will be protected. And you just know this. Now, as far as these other people in these other units, I have the same feelings that you do. I do not have a child, a son, or a daughter over there. And I grieve for them, as you grieve for them, knowing it is a horrible life to know that any second you could have death and destruction raining on your head or a bomb blowing you apart. And these men labor under such intense trauma. They are in a very difficult position. And so I say to you, Lisa, and I say to all of those who are, hear my voice, pray for these men. See them coming home soon. See the conflict resolved. See them all coming home to these people that love them. We are tired of all of this death and destruction. We are tired of it. Let it end. So be it. And pray for them every day. Lisa, I hope you can leave with a full heart now.
Well, thank you so much.
And bless you. And your son-in-law.
Thank you. God bless you, too.
God bless you. Well, we were asking for miracles, my friends, and have we not heard them today? Have we not heard them? And I guess you guys didn't want to hear my ski story. I'm just going to have to bore you with it next time because it's time to leave you. We did come to share some miracles. We'll come again. We'll talk about miracles because we all are miracles because we are all part of God. We all came forth from the hand of God. And so this is the messenger, Carolyn Evers, saying that is all for today. Find somebody that you love and kiss them and tell them that you love them.